Dallas-Fort Worth. Live from the KATH 910 AM studios in Las Colinas and broadcasting across North Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network, this is the Good News Show.
And good afternoon and welcome to the Good News Show on this February 17th. Earlier today I said it was the 21st. Why do I have the 21st in my mind? Well, because the 21st is Friday and that's when we're doing our big drawing for our Mercedes-Benz, and my whole professional life for the last 7 weeks has been laser focused on February 21st, and I've been telling everybody about it. So it's not February 21st yet, but we're awful close. And so welcome to the show. I've been so excited about this hour of broadcast, the way it all came together. I'll tell you what we have planned once we kind of get into the guest segment is that I heard from Sylvia Nehera recently. She's director of advancement at Holy Trinity Seminary, and she was, as she often does, she said, hey, would you like some seminarians from Holy Trinity Seminary to come in and either talk about the Spes Gregis event in the fall or, you know, Lent? And of course, the answer is always yes. I was like, yeah, we always want seminarians to come in. And so in the second half of the program, two Holy Trinity seminarians, Jacob Smith, who's a seminarian with the Diocese of Dallas, and also Eli Weil, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, Diocese of Lafayette. They're going to be in here and they're going to talk about the special programs that are going on for Lent with the seminarians. And the public is invited to join them in the masses and just get over there to Holy Trinity Seminary and see what's going on and meet the seminarians. These are our future priests. And so I'm very much looking forward to that. And so I had that one set. And then a couple weeks ago, we were over at University of Dallas because their wonderful campus minister for liturgy and sacraments, Karen Bless, is the one that I work with, and she asked Father, and they allowed us to come out and make a little announcement at the end of Masses and sell raffle tickets. And I found out through another source that Karen Bless, their campus minister for liturgy and sacraments, is a consecrated virgin. And I don't know if you know about this, but this is a big deal. And it isn't just like something she makes a private vow and, you know, this is a ceremony like a wedding. The bishop was there. The whole University of Dallas, you know, chapel was filled and her parents were there. And she had like what's equivalent, like bridesmaids. I mean, this is a big deal. And there's only about 300 consecrated virgins in the United States. And so she's one of them. And it was last June that she had her ceremony. And, you know, if you're just hearing about this for the first time, it's a beautiful vocation and something that a lot of people don't know about. And so Karen is here in studio with me to talk about this ceremony and what exactly it means to be a consecrated virgin. 304 in the entire United States. There was an article in the Texas Catholic that came out by Michael Gresham, and it was called, This is What the Lord Has Been Calling Me to Do. And so Karen is going to tell us all about it. She's one of nine children. She grew up at St. Jude Parish in Allen. She was homeschooled, UD grad. And so really, it's going to be a lot of fun. So before that, though, and that's going to be about 10 after, I want to tell you about something that we have going on this hour also. It's kind of vocation related also, but like work vocation. And we have a sponsor, Chris and Sita Nisi, who own Aircraft Dispatcher Training Center out over in Farmers Branch. This morning we were out there during the 9 o'clock hour doing a live broadcast. And Chris and Sita train aircraft dispatchers. Okay. And this is a career that, you know, can be lucrative. It can be interesting. And if you like the aircraft industry, I mean, the air flight industry and all that. Well, he trains aircraft dispatchers over there at their center. And he does 7 5-week sessions every year. And the cost is like $5,000, you know, to become a certified aircraft dispatcher. You have to take a test and all that. But he offered us one of these slots in his training. And so we said, okay, well, let's try to sell some raffle tickets. So here's the deal. Okay. At the end of this hour, we're going to do a drawing and somebody's going to win a 5-week course to train with, Aircraft Dispatcher Training Center to become an aircraft dispatcher. It's a $5,000 tuition that you'd have to pay otherwise. Okay, so if you know somebody who's maybe looking for a career change and would like to do this training, this is a great deal. But all you got to do during this hour is call my cell phone, which Sissel has, and say I'll get $100 worth of raffle tickets for the Mercedes-Benz drawing, which is Friday morning at 7 o'clock. And you are in the drawing five times for the Mercedes-Benz, but also you're in a much smaller drawing, maybe 10, 12 people, for the tuition for this course worth like, it's actually more than $5,000. I don't have the exact number, but it's like, you know, $5,400 or something like that. Thanks to, Aircraft Dispatcher Training Center, Chris and Sita Nisi. And, if you go to ADTCDallas.com, you can find out all about it. And so call my cell phone now, talk to Sissel, get $100 worth of tickets, 972-757-2990. See how it all ties into vocation? This is all about vocations,
it
okay?
Is.
Religious vocations, priestly vocations, consecrated virgins, your job vocation. We all have a vocation, right? So call up and get in the drawing. Do we have, what, five or six right now?
Yes, we have five right now. And I just also want to point out, Dave, that we still have five more of the extra tickets as
yes,
well. So
yes.
Someone generously over the weekend while we were selling tickets at Good Shepherd in Colleyville, they, a gentleman bought, some 10 tickets and said he wanted us to give them away. And so the next five people that call in to enter into this mini raffle and get their five tickets for 100, they're actually going to get a sixth one free. So you're really getting six yeah. tickets for the price of four, which is really awesome. Yeah. So.
And today is the last day to
it's
get
the
tickets.
Very last
so
day.
Midnight tonight, if you went on at 1 o'clock tomorrow morning to get tickets, you can't get them. Okay, it's over. And the drawing will be Friday morning at 7 o'clock. And so, yeah, Sissel's right. For the next five people, you'll get an extra ticket and you'll get a very good chance of winning that $5,000 course, Aircraft Dispatcher Training Center. Okay. ADTCDallas.com is the website. So, all right. So call up. We'll do the drawing at the end of this hour. 972-757-2990. 972-757-2990. That's gone. This is like the best prize we give away the entire car raffle season. So call up and I'll remind you a couple of times. All right. So this is a good news show and let's get into our first vocation related interview. And I'm so happy that we have Karen Bless. What a great name, by the way. Karen's nice, but Bless is even cooler.
I agree.
Campus minister for liturgy and sacraments. And like I said, one of nine children, grew up in Allen, went to, you know, she was a parishioner at St. Jude Parish. And graduated, she's homeschooled, graduated from University of Dallas in 2015. And on June 22nd, last summer, 2024, she was consecrated to what's called the Ordo Virginum, the Order of Virgins, during a mass celebrated by Auxiliary Bishop Greg Kelly. Of course, now we know he is the appointed new Bishop of Tyler, but at the time he was the Auxiliary Bishop here. So Karen joins us in studio to talk about this vocation. First of all, congratulations. And it was like a wedding day for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It was.
Yeah. So in the article that Michael did in the Texas Catholic was so beautiful. And it sounds like you've always, you know, from the time you were a child, I've always loved your faith. And, you know, you had a quote in there about your mom said you learned the rosary before you learned your ABCs.
Yeah, that's right.
And so did you always just feel drawn to Christ from the time you were a little girl?
Yeah, it's so funny when you look at your vocation story, everyone can kind of point to that aha moment of like, that's when you realized what the Lord was calling you to.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also look back, you know, on the rest of your life and see how the Lord prepares you to say yes to the vocation that he's called you to.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, the faith was a huge part of my life, my whole life. And I really credit that to my parents and to the wonderful pastors that we had at St. Jude's when I was growing up. So, yeah, I always just loved our Lord. I can't remember a time when I didn't know our Lord, and
mm-hmm.
I never really went through a phase of doubt or discouragement or kind of falling away from the faith, which is a huge grace.
Yeah.
And so I credit that so much to our Lord. And yeah, so it's always been a huge part of my life. And I always knew ultimately I had to figure out, or I had to pray about, how the Lord was calling me to give my life in service to Him.
Mm-hmm. And am I right that you didn't know growing up about this option? Is that right? Because I remember there was a book, and there was a homily in 21 mm-hmm. by one of the Dominican priests at UD, where it kind of the light bulb went on. So this was not something that you even knew existed when you were, what, in high school and college. Would that be right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I knew it had been an option, or something, like there was an option that you could just give your whole life to Christ. And I saw that in the early Roman martyrs, St. Agnes, St. Cecilia. My confirmation saint is St. Maria Goretti, who would not be considered a consecrated virgin. But I knew like there was something very real and very legitimate about mm-hmm. giving yourself to Christ. But I didn't know that was still an option today. I thought your only option was marriage or religious life.
Mm-hmm. Some people say, you know, single life, just single for the Lord kind of thing.
Sure.
I don't know if, you know, there's a debate about whether that's a real vocation.
Sure.
We won't get into that, but yours is a very different one mm-hmm. From that. I just want to read from the article. A consecrated virgin is a never married woman who, through their pledge to follow Christ more closely, is consecrated to God, mystically espoused to Christ, and dedicated to the service of the church. And that is from Canon 604 on the Order of Virgins. And so the interesting thing about your life is that you're not habited. You mm-hmm. are not in a, you know, a convent. You're not with other sisters. You are in the world. And mm-hmm. if you see you at Walmart or, you know, the cowboy game or something, you just, I don't want to say you look normal. You just look like an ordinary person, but,
right.
but you're really not. So what is that distinction of being in the world, but not of the world? How would you describe that?
I think it's the part of consecrated virginity that makes it such a beautiful call is that you're called to be a witness to the fact that there's more to come. And so while people wouldn't be able to immediately identify you as someone who is set apart in the way that you can identify a priest or a religious, the beauty of this vocation is that you can kind of be in the midst of everyone else. And you can give witness to your love of Christ and to the fact that there is another life, right? That there is a life for us to be striving for while just being in the world. So consecrated mm-hmm. virgins can have any job to support themselves, any kind of career. And I've met some across the country who do lots of different things. Most of them actually don't work for the church. And so I think it's just a beautiful invitation, this vocation, to be a true witness in the world while sort of blending in, mm-hmm. so to speak.
And I think that your answer kind of answers this next question, so I won't make you answer it. But I'm sure people have said, why didn't you just become a religious sister?
Oh,
you
sure,
know,
yeah.
But I think you've already kind of answered that. It's a different vocation, mm-hmm. and it's in the world, and it's different. Of course, those vocations are beautiful, but it's not what you were called to.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mentioned 304 consecrated virgins living in dioceses across the United States. Last year, I interviewed Mary Del Olmo, who is from Munster.
Yes.
And she is the first consecrated virgin ever in the Diocese of Fort Worth.
Right.
Of course, Fort Worth is, I believe, a newer diocese than Dallas is. But how is there precedence for this? And in how many of the Dallas Diocese? Are there others that you know? Or is there a little sorority of consecrated virgins?
Yeah.
Or it's a small group of people. So is there any community?
You know, it's one of those things where you have to look for it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know where to find it, the community. So I'm the only consecrated virgin in Dallas, in the Diocese of Dallas. I know there have been other women who were consecrated in this diocese but no longer live here. And that was under a previous bishop and previous administration. So when I approached the diocese about wanting to take this step, they said, well, that's great. We're not really sure what to do with you. So we kind of had to figure out what that would look like. But there is the U.S. Association of Consecrated Virgins. So kind of on a national level of ways to connect with other people. And, you know, you just kind of hear through the grapevine different people who know consecrated virgins from anywhere across the country. Yeah. So I have more of a phone relationship with a lot of them, but it's been very fruitful.
Yeah. There's a great quote in the article where you said, maybe it was an interview you did. It was actually a video interview, and you said you wake up in the morning and you look at your ring because you have a ring, and you remind yourself, wow, I really am. It's not just a dream. And it's a very exciting thing. But is there any, you know, since you are in the world and you're working on a campus and you're, you know, dealing with youth, young people, is there a certain daily ritual, or is there anything that you're required to do that kind of on a daily basis kind of reminds you of, you know, the vow you've taken? Or what is that? What is the ritual?
Yeah, the challenge can be not having a community in that you don't necessarily have anyone to hold you accountable to a certain way of life. And there's no rule in particular that you follow the way that a religious order would have a rule. And so it's very essential for a consecrated virgin living in the world to have set that up kind of beforehand, and to, in consultation with the bishop and your spiritual director, to be able to kind of have some kind of way of life, which when you're living in the world sometimes has to look different every day. And from each consecrated virgin to the next will look different. The only thing that's required per se, just per the rite, is to pray the Liturgy of the Hours. So that's a beautiful way to obviously keep you on track and have it prayer time throughout the day that's kind of scheduled in.
I mentioned the homily that you heard back in 2021. Father Thomas Moore Barba, Dominican priest and fellow UD alum, Dominican friar, he said something in a homily, and this was only, three and a half years ago or so. So this is relatively recent. What did he say? And then it ended up with you picking up a book called Virginity, A Positive Approach to Celibacy for the Sake of the Kingdom by Father Ranieri Cantamalesa, who's like the preacher to the papal household.
Right.
He's a big time. So tell us about that homily. What did you hear? What inspired you? And what did you find out through the book?
Yeah, it was a beautiful homily that I'm blessed to actually have a recording of. So it invites me every so often to re-listen to it and remember what struck me. Essentially, he was talking about the fact that a lot of young people in the church today are very drawn to traditional aspects of the church. And a lot of people are trying to kind of rediscover the history of the church and the history of the liturgy and all the different practices throughout throughout the history of the church. And so specifically, he was preaching about the vocation to celibacy. And I think he was more directing it towards young men, because there are a lot of men who feel called to give their life to Christ, but not through the priesthood. And so many orders have an option for men to take solemn vows, but remain a brother, that they're not ordained to the priesthood. And so he was letting people know that's a legitimate option still in the church today, because, right, the church values the gift of celibacy. And so I thought to myself, well, you know, I have a lot of friends who are priests and a lot of friends in formation for the priesthood, and the church doesn't talk about celibacy a lot. It kind of becomes, for a lot of people, an unfortunate side effect of being a priest or religious.
Like a big sacrifice that,
exactly.
Yeah, it's always posed from a negative standpoint,
right.
Like something you can't do, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And he was preaching about it from the side of it being a gift that's only given to certain people. And so I thought, well, I'd love to understand more about that, just so I can be a better friend to them and support them in that vocation that they have. So I picked up the book and started reading it. And that was when I had my simultaneously aha and oh no moment.
How does that work?
I thought, oh no, like this was not
what
I was.
Oh, so scared you a little bit?
A little bit. I mean, I knew it was the Holy Spirit, and I felt that tug on my heart from the Holy Spirit. And so many things about my life and things that I had discerned made so much sense. But that's not what I was expecting in reading the book. So our Lord kind of surprised me in that way, but I was intrigued. And so I now own an entire shelf of books on celibacy. And I used to sit in like coffee shops and airports, like covering up the title of the book while I would read it. And, but it just, you know, it it drew me so deeply, or it spoke to a very deep desire in my heart that I wasn't expecting to find.
Yeah. So you had the ceremony, the mass celebrated by then Auxiliary Bishop Greg Kelly, mm-hmm. June 22nd, the Ordo Virginum, mm-hmm. and by all the looks of it, the way you were dressed, you had like bridesmaids. I don't mm-hmm. think they're probably called that, but you know, and your parents were there, a packed church. How was that? Because typically when, you know, a woman prepares for a wedding, it's her and a man, obviously,
right.
you know, and you've got the bridesmaids and the families and the reception, you know, but this was something that was very much like a wedding. How mm-hmm. did you approach this, and what was it like that day to become officially a consecrated virgin?
Yeah. I mean, one of the titles that is used for consecrated virgins and consecrated religious women is the Bride of Christ. And so it's beautiful that the church has just built into the rite of consecration all of those elements. Like, you're supposed to have two women who accompany you through the rite, and just all of the elements that I had. It's encouraged that you wear a white dress, right? Just to call to mind that it is a wedding, right? It's a mystical marriage. And the bishop is there, obviously, to represent Christ. And during the rite of consecration, you receive bridal insignia. So the bishop gives you a ring and a veil and a book of the Liturgy of the Hours. So it is a wedding. It is very much a wedding. And
yeah.
it was a beautiful day. And it felt like my wedding day. And I had a party and everything. And I'm still processing it because it was just so, so deeply spiritual and so, just so rich theologically.
I know you came from a very Catholic family, mm-hmm. and reading the article, I think your parents were delighted, and there's a beautiful picture of them behind you and they're beaming with smiles.
Yeah.
And, but when you went to them and told them initially, like, Mom, Dad, I'm considering this. What was their initial reaction, or maybe friends' reaction? What did people originally tell you when you proposed this idea to them?
Yeah, I remember very distinctly bringing it up to my parents, and we were sitting on the patio of their house because I didn't want to announce it to everyone all at once. So uh-huh. we sat outside, and I remember telling them I felt very drawn to this vocation. And the first thing my dad said was, "You don't want to have kids?" and I think not because, you know, he was sad about that, but I think they were surprised because you know.
More for your sake than theirs. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think they were surprised because mm-hmm. I had been dating and, you know, and my life kind of started to move in that direction last that they heard. And so I think I was kind of quiet about my discernment for a while just to see how it would turn out, I guess. And so they were initially a little surprised, but they wanted to understand more.
Mm-hmm.
And they were so supportive, incredibly supportive and loving about it. And so they asked for maybe a resource that would help them understand more. And I gave them a book that had been helpful to me. And it made my discernment so much easier to have their love and support.
Yeah, yeah, awesome. And then I'm sure your siblings were there. Where are you in the order of siblings? You've got eight brothers and sisters,
yes,
right?
That's right. I'm the third oldest.
Okay.
So I have two older siblings and several younger siblings.
I thought it was funny when you said about, you know, your dad said, you don't want to have children.
Yeah.
And of course, with all those other kids, and he wasn't probably thinking about his own grandchildren, but he'll probably get them from the other.
They've already got a bunch in there. There's more to come.
Right. Karen Bless is my guest. Well, that rhymes almost. campus minister for liturgy and sacraments, which we really haven't even talked about that. But I would like to know how this vocation fits into your career, which you didn't have to quit your job or mm-hmm. do something different or move into a convent. You just kind of carry on with the life as it was.
That's
I know
right.
you really enjoy that. Campus minister for liturgy and sacraments at the Chapel of the Incarnation over at the University of Dallas. And if you're just joining us, she on June 22nd last summer became a bride of Christ, consecrated to the Ordo Virginum, the Order of Virgins, during a mass celebrated by Auxiliary Bishop Greg Kelly that day. We're talking about the wedding day, so to speak, when you became a bride of Christ. And there's such a great quote from one of your, are they bridesmaids or what is the official name? Alexa Dodd, what was she officially, a witness or?
I don't know. The rite doesn't really name them. It just says two women to accompany the one.
The accompanying women. All right.
So I called them bridesmaids because it was easier.
Right. Okay. So if you're comfortable with that, I'll call them that as well. Okay. Because you are a bride and mm-hmm. it's a wedding and, you know. She said, Karen is such a loving, outgoing person with a love for things like Captain America and cool cars and cool dresses. But there's always a focus on Christ. I think in this way, she will continue to attract others to the faith. And, I mean, somebody who likes Captain America and cool dresses, cool cars. You're just an ordinary, regular person. And I want to transition that into your work at the University of Dallas because I'm sure that works well, is that you can better relate to these college students if you're not like, oh, don't talk to Karen. She's just too holy.
That's definitely not the case.
She's on this level that we can't even approach. But you're just like you fit in, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I think in every, not just vocation, but in every person, authenticity is such a huge part of being a Catholic, so a huge part of being a Christian. And so I've always tried to be an authentic person. And so I don't think that they're, you know, you look at any of the saints and think like all, you know, they were just so far above everybody else that they were not relatable. I think some of the more modern saints are showing us that. Carlo mm-hmm. Acutis and Pier Giorgio Frassati, whose canonizations are coming up. But for me, you know, it's like I do love Captain America. I love the Marvel movies, and I drove a Mustang for a while, which I really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. And I think so long as we are detached from material things, our Lord gave us those things to enjoy, right? He doesn't want us to walk around life being miserable. So I try to be authentic in recognizing the things that I love and I enjoy, but not letting those things get in the way of my love for him.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure people have said to you, like, aren't you going to be lonely?
Oh, yes. I got that a lot.
What are the other questions people ask? Because maybe you speak to young people or, you know, college students. Mm-hmm. What other questions people ask about your vocation?
Definitely. Yeah, I got the loneliness one a lot, right? Won't you be lonely? And what happens if you meet somebody? What happens if you meet a great guy
and you mm-hmm. want to get, well, that, yeah. That.
Mm-hmm. And my response to that is, you know, if you... in talking to married couples, I would say, well, have you ever met someone while you were married that you thought was attractive?
Yeah.
Right? And they said, sure. And I said, well, why didn't you leave your spouse for them if you found someone better, yeah, quote unquote? Right, and they said, because I love my spouse and made a commitment to them. I'm like, mm-hmm. exactly. Right? And the Lord is my spouse, and yeah. I made a commitment to him. And of course, I have the excuse of saying I won't find anybody better, and that is true.
Kind of hard competition.
Right. But I'm still human. I'm still human.
Yeah, right. But yeah, that's a good way of putting it, is that you've made a vow, and you're married, and mm-hmm. you're not available. Yeah.
Right.
You're not available to date, and obviously you get married, and so, you know, either am I. You know, I'm a married man, and so I certainly understand that. Well, in the time remaining, Karen, we have a few minutes. You know, are you speaking to people about this? Is this something that the church is promoting? Because I don't really hear about this vocation very much. Is this something that, you know, you speak to schools or young ladies and or girls for that matter and just talk about this as a viable vocation? Or is that part of your role?
Yeah, I think the church is still, because it's the revival of the rite happened under JP II, his pontificate, and the rite was restored in 1970. So it's relatively new in church terms, mm-hmm, right? Yeah. And in terms of it being revived, right? It's always been an option, but it gained more popularity and awareness in that time. So I think the church is still kind of trying to figure out how to make people know that it's an available option. But I have actually been surprised by the number of invitations that I've received to speak about the vocation. I've had a lot of young women from around the diocese reach out to me mm-hmm. and just ask if we can chat. So I've had a lot of conversations over coffee with different people. Of course, the students are very curious. So my hope is just to let people know more about the vocation so that it's an option to them to discern. Because I just, like I said, I didn't know much or anything about it for a long time in my life. And it, so I hope that I can provide some kind of opportunity for people to learn more about the vocation, even if not to discern for themselves, just to be aware that there are a lot of different beautiful ways that our Lord can call us to serve.
Yeah. And the article by Michael Gresham in the Texas Catholic, it came out August of 24, which would have been June, July, which a couple months, almost exactly 2 months. Well, yeah, exactly 2 months after your wedding. And that's a great way to learn because it's a very well-written article and it really explains things very well. I don't know how people can get a hold of that. They can probably go on the Texas Catholic website. And if people want to get in touch with you and ask you some questions, is there any contact information you can provide on the radio?
Yeah, absolutely. If you go on the university's website and look up campus ministry staff, you'll find my email there. It's also very easy and I'm happy to give it. On the air.
Okay.
Very easy. So my name's Karen Bless. So the email's just kbless@udallas.edu.
Do people ever say, is that really your name?
Yes, I get that a lot. Or they say, that's so perfect.
That's like your consecrated virgin name, right?
Right.
Yeah, it used to be Karen Smith and then you became Karen Bless.
Exactly.
No, and I do also thank you for your help because you've always been a great liaison with the chapel and helping us to promote what you're doing and vice versa. So,
well, thanks, Dave.
Thank you very much. And again, if you want to learn more about the life of consecrated virginity, Bride of Christ, Karen Bless is my guest, and she is the campus minister for liturgy and sacraments at the University of Dallas. And you can reach her on her email, kbless@udallas.edu. kbless@udallas.edu. Thank you so much. It's great
to
see you. I'm going to take a picture of you and put it up on our Facebook page so people can link a face to the voice, if that's okay.
Fantastic.
And coming up, we're going to continue talking about vocations. In this case, it's going to be seminary life. I've got two seminarians from Holy Trinity Seminary coming in. Thanks to Sylvia Nahara, the director of advancement over there. She's the one that connected me with Jacob Smith from the Diocese of Dallas and also Eli Weil, Diocese of Lafayette, Louisiana, coming in to talk about particularly things that they're going to be doing this Lenten season. Because you know what? Lent starts 2 weeks from Wednesday. All right. So we got to get ready. Mardi Gras is 2 weeks from tomorrow. So quick break and we'll be back with more Good News Show after this. And also, let me say about these tickets. Aircraft Dispatcher Training Center, Chris and Sita have given us an opportunity for you or somebody you know to go through training to become an aircraft dispatcher. Okay, this is a $5,000 training, and they do this 7 times a year. And all you got to do to get into a drawing of probably 10 or 12 people is call, talk to Cecil this hour, because we're going to do the drawing at the end of the hour, 972-757-2990, 972-757-2990. Buy $100 worth of car raffle tickets. You'll get another one thrown in. You'll have 6 car raffle tickets for Friday's drawing for the Mercedes. And you'll have a very good chance of winning this tuition for the Aircraft Dispatcher Training Center. Okay, go to ADTCDallas.com to find out more about them. So call Cecil and get in on that, 972-757-2990. We'll be back with more Good News Show right after this.
Holy Trinity Catholic School in Grapevine is celebrating its 30th year with a special black tie event. The Black Tie Gala benefiting Holy Trinity Catholic School will be held on Saturday evening, April 26th at the Hearst Conference Center in Hearst. The gala celebration will include a 3-course dinner, drinks, live music, dancing, live and silent auctions, and other fun evening activities. For more information or to purchase tickets to the Holy Trinity Catholic School Black Tie Gala, visit holytcs.org and click on Gala.
Project Joseph, can I help you?
I lost my child to an abortion 20 years ago. Can you help me, or is it too late?
It's never too late to start healing. Let's see if Project Joseph is a good fit for you.
Even if it's been years, Project Joseph, a confidential men-only weekend healing retreat, can help you find peace. The next retreat is February 22nd and 23rd. Call 469-720-2273 or email healing@projectjosephdallas.org. Project Joseph, it works.
All GRN listeners are invited to a St. Vincent de Paul Friends of the Poor Domino Tournament. The St. Vincent de Paul Friends of the Poor 42 Tournament will take place on Friday, February 21st and Saturday, February 22nd in the Gonzalez Room at Holy Family Catholic Church in Irving. Meet friendly players from across Texas at this fun-filled dominoes tournament. This event features trophies, door prizes, and a silent auction. For more information, contact John at 214-808-4898.
Hi, my name is Emily Vines. I'm currently studying at the University of Dallas, and I'm a foreigner student of Homeschool Connections, a Catholic online provider of live and recorded classes for grade school, middle school, and high school students. At Homeschool Connections, your student can incorporate their Catholic faith into a variety of subject matter. You can learn more by visiting homeschoolconnections.com, a sponsor of the GRN. Again, that's homeschoolconnections.com.
All GRN listeners are invited to attend John Paul II High School's Legacy Gala. The Roaring 20th Legacy Gala will be held on Saturday, March 1st from 5 to 11 p.m. at the Omni Frisco Hotel at the Star in Frisco. The night includes a three-course dinner, open bar, silent and live auctions, and live entertainment. Wear your favorite Roaring 20s party attire. Gala proceeds support John Paul II High School tuition assistance and strategic student initiatives. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit dallascatholic.org and click on events.
Are you turning 65 soon or already on Medicare and looking for a plan to fit your needs? My name is Michelle Vina, a new sponsor of this station. I own Morningstar 65, which is dedicated to helping Catholics get the best out of their Medicare plans. My husband Kevin and I have been blessed with 8 children and are active members of St. Mary the Virgin Parish in Arlington. You can find information about Morningstar 65 and the services available online at morningstar65.com. That's morningstar65.com.
All right, we are back. This is the Good News Show here on KATH 910 AM, Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth. And let me just say, I'm so excited and so thankful also to Sylvia Nehera, Director of Advancement over at Holy Trinity Seminary, for arranging it. We do this about every year. Sometimes it's in the fall with the Spes Regis dinner. But in this case, I've got two the seminarians from Holy Trinity Seminary talking about what's going on this Lent, you know, so you can, it's not like the seminary is closed off and, you know, you can't have any communication. They want you to participate, you know, the lady going in there and participating in Mass and meeting the seminarians. I mean, these are our future priests. We might as well get to know them, right? And I'm always so impressed with the future of the church whenever I have a chance like today to meet our current seminarians, who I'm going to formally introduce here in just a moment. But first, all right, Cecil is on the phone, and we have this really cool opportunity. Aircraft Dispatcher Training Center is one of our sponsors, and they, guess what they do? They train aircraft dispatchers, okay? And Chris Nisi and Sita Nisi are the owners, and they have given us a five-week course training where you get a certificate, you know, you get prepared to take the test and become an aircraft dispatcher. It's about $5,000, and they've given us one seat for one of their classes this year. And all you got to do is buy $100 worth of raffle tickets. We're giving away a Mercedes-Benz this Friday, the 21st, 7 o'clock, live on the radio. But the drawing is going to be at the top of this hour. Okay, so you got to call quickly. Sissel's on the phone right now. If you have to leave a message, it's okay. And but here's the phone number, 972-757-2990. $100 worth of tickets. You get five. We'll throw in an extra one, and then you get a chance to win that the training, the certificate. I mean, it's like the training course. It's really cool. 972-757-2990. All right, my seminarians in studio are Eli Weil, and he is a Discipleship One seminarian. He's 20 years old. He is from the Diocese of Lafayette, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And we also have from the Diocese of Dallas, Jacob Smith, who's 22 years old and in Discipleship One also, right?
No,
oh, no, Discipleship Four. Okay. I think I cut my thing up. Okay, Discipleship Four. All right. Well, and again, thanks to Sylvia. We're going to talk about what's going on in Lent, but I asked you both to just give us a little bit of biography, a little bit about how the Lord called you into seminary life. And we can start with you, Jacob, and make sure you get right up close to that microphone and So tell us from the Dallas Diocese.
Yeah.
So, and what parish and what's your story?
Yeah. Thank you, Dave, for having us on.
Uh-huh.
My home parish is St. Patrick in Lake Highlands.
Okay.
So my mom grew up over there and we've just been there for several decades. For me, I started discerning in high school, my freshman year at DCYC, actually, which this year's DCYC
just happened
this weekend. So it was a real gift to be able to go back. I was helping serve there, just reflecting on my own vocation and how things have developed in 8 years since then. But so I started discerning at that kind of halfway point in my freshman year of high school. I went to public school all the way until seminary and kind of wrestled with it. At first, I just really didn't want to go, but just hearing the Lord's desire for me to give myself wholly to Him in this particular way, and that this was this way He was calling me to give myself body and soul in my whole life for Him. By the end of high school, I was just like, you know what, Lord, I have these acceptances to go to other colleges, but this is what you're calling me to do right now, so we're going to take this next step. And He's just been confirming it since then.
Here we are. Discipleship forward. Does that mean you've been in seminary for 4 years now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. And did you probably didn't do the propedeutic?
No.
Okay, yeah. That's something new that they're doing now. So 4 years of seminary. And so how does it go? 4 years of discipleship, and then what's next? And what's going forward? What will be the curriculum, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, it's changed recently. As you know, with the propedeutic year, they added that. How many discipleship years you do depends practically on several factors, the kind of college credit you have coming in. So if you have a degree already, then you'd only do 2 years of discipleship. I came in right out of high school, so I had to do the full degree. Eli had a lot of college credit from high school, so we'll see how that works out for him.
Right, okay. So, yeah, Eli Weil from the Diocese of Lafayette, Discipleship 1. So does this mean you're in your first year of seminary? Is that right?
So this is actually my second year.
Okay.
So I did the propedeutic year that y'all were talking about.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Tell us about that, because when that first started, I had, priests and folks from, vocation directors in to talk about it because they were just starting it. But I haven't actually talked to a seminarian who's been through it. And maybe you can explain what that is and what was your experience.
Okay, yeah. So in general, it's just your first year of seminary. Anyone, no matter how old, how much history you have with college or anything, when you're in your first year of seminary, you go and you do this propedeutic year. And it's quite monastic, really. Like, you're living in the house all together in community, multiple times of prayer a day. So we would have morning prayer with a meditation afterwards for about an hour. You have meals together, less classes than what discipleship does. So we both attend the University of Dallas, whereas in the propedeutic year, we just had professors come to us in the seminary and teach us, like, two different classes for that. We'll have midday prayer, lunch together, and then different activities like manual labor, which is doing some work around the seminary, teaching us how to, like, work with our hands and do physical work like that. We had group workouts together, dinner and evening prayer together. This night prayer is what they call it, Compline at night together. And it's very much focused on, like, introducing you to seminary. Mm-hmm. Propedeutic actually means preparatory. So it's like, it's a very smooth way of bringing you into the life of a seminarian. And that's kind of what the church's view was. Like, they wanted something that wasn't as labor intensive as discipleship as your first year, to be able to, like, get yourself settled in and to really get you comfortable with living that life.
Makes a lot of sense, because it's a transition time anyways, and if you're got a lot of heavy subjects and tests and philosophy, and it might be like, oh, this is too much, and I think they want to kind of ease you in a little bit, and like you said, more of a monastic type of lifestyle. So Eli, what was your story as far as growing up, and when did you feel that call from God, and how did that happen?
So as you said, I'm from Lafayette, Louisiana. I've been Catholic my whole life. My parents enrolled me and my three other older siblings into Catholic school. So we did that. My home parish is St. Pius the 10th in Lafayette. I don't know if there's any Lafayette listeners. you might know what that is. I went to this high school called John Paul the Great Academy, and I was there from second grade to my senior year. And it's a classical school, very similar to like how UD is classical, mm-hmm. and like very small. So I was with the same people for a long time. And I didn't feel like any calling, any draw to the priesthood until my freshman year as well. I was in adoration on a retreat, and I just felt the Lord calling me to really celibacy. And I wrestled with that a lot. Like I wanted to be married, and I thought that was going to be my life. I wanted to just live like a normal life. So it came as a surprise, and there was a lot of wrestling, as Jacob also felt. So yeah, wrestling with that, and still was Catholic, still going to school, still going to mass and praying and having good friendships and everything. But really what drew me to accept that call and what I was feeling was a trip that I took to Rome with my high school, and the chaplain who was there, just, he's a religious priest, and just his witness to his priesthood and living out his vocation was like very inspiring to me. And it showed me like, okay, this person is living out what I feel I'm called to, and he is very much at peace and at joy, and he mm-hmm. enjoys what he does and is fulfilled by that. I could see myself in that as well. And that, just like that acceptance, like accepting that in my heart, really not telling anyone yet, but just coming to accept that immediately, was, it brought a lot of peace. And I would go to pray with it, and I would still be at peace. And I was like, okay, this is the right thing to do. And so that was like right before my senior year. I talked to the vocations director of Lafayette, and he was like, okay, I'll let you discern with it. And then if you're still feeling the same way, we'll give you an application. And so that's mm-hmm. how I got here.
Yeah. It's great to hear that there is some wrestling, and mm-hmm. you know, it's a big decision, but I think it's so awesome that you just say, okay, God, I'm going to go in, because just entering seminary doesn't mean, you know, that you're 100% sure you're going to be a priest, but mm-hmm. you feel like that's the way that God's leading you at the moment. The website for Holy Trinity Seminary is holytrinityseminary.org, by the way, if you want to find out. It's a beautiful website and a lot of information about activities. And I want to kind of pivot now in the time that we have remaining and talk about how our listeners can participate in activities, especially Lent. Lent starts 2 weeks from Wednesday. I mean, it's right around the corner mm-hmm. with Ash Wednesday on March 5th this year. And Jacob, one of the things is Lenten reflections.
Yes.
And what are those, and what should people know about those?
So every day in Lent, we'll have a reflection written by a seminarian, just reflecting on maybe the readings for the day or some topic appropriate to Lent, that will be posted to the Holy Trinity Seminary Facebook page mm-hmm. at, I think, 5 in the morning that day, just to really give people some spiritual nourishment to really be able to reflect on what we're going through in Lent and the journey there, but also to connect with the seminarians and see how our formation's working out and if we're really learning too much. hopefully it is. But yeah, and so there'll be some video ones. For example, I did the video reflection for Ash Wednesday, so that'll be released on Ash Wednesday. And every Sunday we'll have a video reflection. But there'll be just a written reflection every day of Lent, mm-hmm. all the way through to Divine Mercy Sunday, so all past right. Lent.
So you said the Facebook page, and can people also find that on the website also? HolyTrinitySeminary.org, but also find those. Those are going to be released, you say, 5 o'clock in the morning on mm-hmm. The particular days. Some of them are videos, and some are written form, right?
Yep.
Written reflections posted on all days, and then video reflections, Ash Wednesday, Sundays during Lent, Easter Sunday, Divine Mercy Sunday as well. And Eli, there's something else called Solemn 40-Hour Devotion.
Yes.
The public isn't invited to this, but what is this about?
Yeah, so it's actually an ancient practice in the Catholic Church where there's Eucharistic exposition for 40 hours straight. And in the seminary, this is like a time, it's like a mini retreat almost in the seminary. They ask us to take at least one holy hour, go before the Blessed Sacrament. There's a lot of preparation that we go just to make a beautiful setting, make it very prayerful. And it's just a good way to have some time to rest and reflect in the middle of the semester. There'll be like an opening exposition with a mass, and then every two seminarians pair up and take an hour, even throughout the night. And then there is be a closing evening prayer with a Eucharistic procession around the seminary. And just a way for us to deepen our faith and our devotion to the Eucharist mm-hmm. All together in brotherhood, yeah.
You mentioned how y'all are in the University of Dallas, and you're taking classes with, you know, everybody, right? And then you go back to the seminary and you're within the group of, you know, priests and the fellow seminarians, right? Mm-hmm. Is there, how do you all build community? How is it that, because you're not all from the same diocese, even the two of you mm-hmm. are not from the same diocese. Do you get you into your little diocesan clique, or is everybody just kind of together, or how, what is that dynamic, Jacob?
There's lots of different kinds of community that come in. Maybe concentric circles is one way to think of it. Because, yeah, we do have these diocesan groups, and we're intentional about being together as men from the same diocese, especially with this eye toward, oh, we're going to be priests together one day, God willing. But also, it's very important having this community of the entire seminary together. So Elon and I are very close friends, and we have been. You know, just living together is such an aid to that common life and deep understanding that, you know, we have friends at UD and we have deep friendships there, but it's a very different kind of, union, different kind of communion there.
How many seminarians are over there right now? Do you have any idea?
The beginning of the year was 74. I think we're just under 60 now.
Okay. Yeah. So about 60 or so. Mm-hmm. All right. My guests are Eli Wael from the Diocese of Lafayette, Discipleship 1, second year seminarian, and also Jacob Smith from the Diocese of Dallas. He mentioned grew up in St. Patrick Parish. Mm-hmm. That's where I grew up, by the way.
Really?
I went to school there. I graduated St. Patrick. So just back over there last week, Father Calloway came in for a talk. And I just want to say one more time, we're going to have the drawing for the Aircraft Dispatcher Training Center 5-week course at the top of this hour. And this will be the last time I'll mention the phone number, because if you want to get in the drawing, you got to call Cecil at 972-757-2990 and just say, hey, I want to get 5 tickets for that car raffle. We'll throw in an extra one, and you're going to have quite a good chance to win. This is $5,000 tuition to Air Traffic Dispatcher Training Center from our friends Chris and Sita Nisi. You can go to adtcdallas.com to find out more about that. But if you want to get in that drawing, you got to call right now, because this is the last time I give out the phone number, and Cecil will do the drawing. We can have one of the seminarians do the official drawing. Cecil can bring it in here. Would that be okay? Yeah. 972-757-2990. Just get $100 worth of car raffle tickets, and you'll be in that mini drawing as well. 972-757-2990. Some people may not be aware that seminary masses, some or all, are open to the public. And I've got some of the dates here, but are all the masses open to the public, or particular times? Or Eli, how does that work?
Not every mass is open to the public. Only on Sundays would they be. And you can go and check just on the Holy Trinity website, holytrinityseminary.org, and you can see all the times where you can come to Mass. We'll have coffee and donuts after sometimes, so that's also fun.
Coffee and donuts is a big draw.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I obviously, the Mass is what you go for, but to have that time, and do people, I'm just curious, when in the reception time and the public is there, I think people have a fascination and interest in seminarians. I always enjoy, you know, meeting seminarians. What kind of questions do people ask you, or any students on campus ever say, hey, I got a curiosity question about seminary life, or what kind of questions are you asked?
It's a good question. That depends a lot on the different kind of person and their situation. So say when my grandma comes to Mass, it's a very different thing than somebody who's discerning. Often we'll have people come to the men come to the seminary as kind of a come and see, get in to see. And so they'll have very specific questions about, how does this life look? What are the different practices you do as they're in the midst of experiencing them? Whereas other people, a lot of people will ask about our vocation story and how we've come to start discerning, and or like you said, what's next? How does this go? Yeah. The overall program of seminary formation.
When I talked to Karen Bless in the first segment, you know, we talked about her as a consecrated virgin, that oftentimes people will stress what she's giving up rather than what she's gaining. Do you all find that to be truth? You know, you mentioned about, Eli, about you always thought you were going to get married, and obviously if you become a priest, that won't be the case. Mm-hmm. But do you find that there's often an emphasis on what you're giving up rather than what you're gaining? And really, there's so much that a priest gains by being a priest. And either one of you, just the blessings, or if you're talking to a boy and you know, why would you want to be a priest? You know, what would you say to that? What excites you about this vocation?
Yeah, I'll start. This is very interesting because our rector, Father Vincent Anyama, just gave us a conference on celibacy last night. So this is very,
very fresh, yeah.
Still in our minds. Yeah. I think there is a lot of people who will just think like, okay, you're giving up marriage and don't really understand or maybe don't see like what you're gaining from that. The church believes that priests are married to the church and they're giving their lives and sacrificing their life for the flock, the people that they're assigned to serve, celebrate Mass for, and give their life for. So, and in the scriptures, it says, Jesus says, whoever gives up house or father or mother will gain 100-fold, something like that. And I've just found in my experience of seminary, obviously not ordained, not having taken a vow or anything, but just the Lord, whenever we give ourselves to him, he just draws so much closer. And the more we give up, the more he draws close to us. And so much joy comes from that, from a very intimate union with him in prayer. And I just find pastoral work and serving people in parishes like very fulfilling.
Mm-hmm.
And it satisfies me in a way that it's hard to explain, but it's what I feel like I'm made for.
Yeah. So. Did you want anything to add to that, Jacob? I had another question, but yeah, go ahead.
Eli, I definitely agree with what he said. And there's that aspect of celibacy even in itself, like being a gift. Last night at that conference, Eli was talking about Father Vincent, our rector, was talking about talking with his nieces and nephews, and they're like, why do priests not get married? And his simple answer was, because Jesus didn't, and the priest wants to be like him. there's a real spiritual significance to that of... just getting to be with him.
Okay, so are we ready for the drawing? Okay, so there's very strict rules about this, okay? and I do have a couple more questions, okay? We'll do this first. You got to look away. Okay, and then, there you go. He's looking away, then hand goes in. You got to kind of start around a little bit, so don't get the one necessarily that's right on the top. There you go, the hand's out, the hand's back in. Okay, Jacob's doing it, and here's the winner. This is the winner of Aircraft Dispatcher Training Center with Chris and Sita Nisi, adtcdallas.com. And do you want to announce the winner?
The winner is Teresa Rosado.
Teresa Rosado. Wow. Let me see. Okay, so Teresa Rosado. All right, Teresa, congratulations. And I don't know if it's going to be you taking the course or somebody that you know, but congratulations. Thanks to everybody else. How many did we have? And you also got 6 tickets to the car raffle. Anything you want to comment about that?
No, but a lot of people were very excited about getting possibly winning that training. It's a really good value. So I'm really excited to call Teresa and let her know. Hopefully she's still listening. She called in earlier this hour. Hopefully she'll be excited to hear that.
All right, very good. Well, thank you, Cecil. I want to continue talking about the Lenten activities, and thank you again for both of you for being here. Mm-hmm. Lenten penance services. Mm-hmm. Jacob, tell us about those.
So a part of canon law, I believe, is that there's a requirement that at the beginning of Lent and beginning of Advent, there's a penance service where we all come together as a seminary community, and confessors will come in, priests will come in for us to have our confessions heard, to just prepare to enter into Lent in this, this deeper way, but also in a communal way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then finally, this is something that is very exciting, and the Holy Trinity Seminary has been doing this for a long time. Eli, the Living Stations of the Cross. Mm-hmm. Are y'all personally involved in this? Palm Sunday, April 13th. Seems like a long time from now, but of course, time goes by so fast. 7:30 p.m. The public is invited, free admission, and a reception to follow. I don't know if there's donuts or not, but there's probably not donuts in the evening. But the Living Stations of the Cross, what is that?
Yeah, so it's our gift of a reenactment of the Passion of Christ. We are going to have actors and a Jesus, a Mary, a John, like all of the main pieces from the Stations of the Cross, and it'll be still shots of each station with the Scola singing hymns. There'll be some reflection readings, and it's a very prayerful, it's a very spiritual experience, and it's always very beautiful. I was a part of, or I attended last year. I wasn't a part of it. This year I'll be in the Scola singing. I don't know. Jacob might be an actor or something. Mm-hmm. So we get seminarians to be the actors and to sing in the Scola. We'll get some people from UD to help out. And yeah, it's just a really awesome experience.
All right. So there's a lot coming up between now and then, but that'll be Palm Sunday, April 13th, Living Stations of the Cross. All this information is on their website, holytrinityseminary.org, and also a Facebook page as well. I've been speaking to Eli Weil, Diocese of Lafayette, and also Jacob Smith from the Diocese of Dallas, grew up in St. Patrick's Parish, and St. Pius X Parish in Lafayette, yes, is where you grew up. Last question, and if there's anything else you guys would like to add about seminary life, then please feel free. But you know, most of the kids are in school now, and mm-hmm. so we may not have a lot of, you know, 10 or 12 year olds listening or 16 year olds listening, but their parents are and their grandparents are. What would be your advice for somebody, a parent or a grandparent, who they're looking at their kid or the grandkid and saying, I just get this feeling that he would make a great priest?